Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Schmo Zone, where the air is thin, the sports get heavy, with your hosts, the dynamic duo, Dave Schmollinson and Helen Yee.
What is up, party people? Welcome back to the Schmo Zone. I'm Dave Schmollinson, a.k.a. The Schmo.
And I'm Helen Yee Sports.
An absolute loaded week of sports. I had so much fun this weekend just camping out on the couch and watching some excellent March Madness games, Helen.
Yeah, you've been glued to the TV while I've been having to vacuum kind of around where you're sitting.
Are you saying I'm making a mess? There's a lot of crumbs everywhere, Helen.
I mean, just a couple I saw here and there. But Dave, I want to say first off, though, I usually never clap for myself, but I'm pretty proud of myself for these past 2 days. You want to know why?
Tell me.
I went 2 days without coffee. I'm so excited.
That's pretty impressive. Yeah.
I know, usually, like, that's my only addiction in life is coffee. But I think thanks to doing some breath work, which yesterday I did like 3 minutes, 16 seconds holding my breath. And today I woke up, didn't need coffee for the second day in a row.
Well, that's fantastic news. I can only go maybe 2 days at most without coffee.
Yeah, I saw you making the coffee today. I was tempted, but I saw you drink the whole like thing.
It's 24 ounces.
That's
a
lot.
2 cups, 12 ounces each cup, 2 cups worthy. That's totally fine. But I feel like I earned it because I did 3 minutes in the cold plunge this morning, which is a very nice routine I recently started.
Yeah, I'm proud of you. I won't even go in there. It's like way too cold. It scares me.
You know, you don't need coffee after having that cold shock therapy, 3 minutes and 50 degrees or less. I think I keep it at 42 degrees. That's what I was at this morning. But I'm telling you, it just amps you up. It makes you psyched for the day and it makes you feel super, super great. And I'm just ready to talk sports today because of it.
Yeah. And speaking of that, we have a loaded show today.
Absolutely. We're going to have Malachi Corley calling in shortly here. If you remember from a couple weeks ago when we had wide receiver Lance Moore, who's a Super Bowl winner, played a lot of seasons with the New Orleans Saints, and he's now a scout, now an agent. He brought up Malachi Corley's name as someone to keep an eye on in the NFL draft. Right now he's projected to be a day two draft pick out of Western Kentucky. So I figured, why not have Malachi Corley on? He's going to be joining us pretty shortly. We're going to have UFC Hall of Famer and former welterweight champion Matt Serra on. And we're going to have cold-blooded Aaron Blanchfield, who's headlining UFC in Atlantic City this weekend. Loaded show for you all today.
I know. I'm so excited. And speaking of a lot of big news, I mean, I think the biggest news, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the biggest news this past week is Shohei Ohtani and everything that's kind of went down with that. And yesterday he had a press conference. Not sure if you were able to see that. I mean, didn't answer too much, but answered a little.
Right. He wasn't fielding questions, but he prepared a statement and he just got out right in front of it and just completely denied any affiliation with gambling, had no knowledge that this was being done behind the scenes with his bank account. And he was adamant that he had nothing to do with it. And the beat goes on. They move forward. The Dodgers move forward. They obviously are one of the favorites, if not the favorite, to win the World Series this year. They have an absolutely stacked team. You're in one of the largest media markets in the country. You signed the richest deal, the most high-profile signee that I can remember, certainly in recent memory. From the dollar amount, it is the biggest amount of money allocated to a player in the history of the sport. There you go. Shohei Ohtani. He denies everything. He did what he had to do, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, what's he going to do besides deny it, right? What can he do?
Well, if there is any lick of doubt, if there's any squeaky wheel here, they will find it. and they will prosecute him because baseball takes this seriously. But we will get into shortly how much of a slippery slope is that not just baseball is having, but if you go to football, you go to basketball, and every sport that you can gamble on, there's going to be a slippery slope now and moving forward.
Well, even in the UFC. Yes. With James Krause, that situation too.
And we're still waiting on that too. There's an FBI investigation open on that.
Yeah, well, say, you know, they let the investigations happen and nothing, and they can't find anything, right? Do you think that this still kind of puts a cloud over Shohei Ohtani in terms of, like, you know, how people perceive him? Like, do you think that they may be thinking, oh, well, did he pay them off or did he do this? You know, even if they could not find anything.
Well, winning cures everything in sports, first and foremost. Let me just put that out there. Whether it's an athlete coming back from performance-enhancing drugs or they've had some sort of scandal, if they are good on the field, good with their teammates, good with the fans, winning cures all as well. With that said, unless there is something to incriminate Shohei Ohtani that goes against any of his public statements that can track him physically being involved with this, then I think what his performance on the field does will dictate how his career will go. I mean, this is a little bit different than Pete Rose here, right? I mean, this is not a situation where you have evidence and you have a scenario where he was directly the person involved. I feel like the Dodgers and Shohei Ohtani are really taking this bull by the horns. They're taking the story. They have their side. They're stating their side. Now, if there's anything that go against their side with evidence found moving forward, then we can start to question it. But the slippery slope continues to follow as this is. If you look at gambling, if you look at all the daily gambling, you look at the DraftKings, you look at the bettors, the Prize Picks, the ESPN bets, MGMs, gambling has been accepted by the owners of the organizations and professional sports. If you look at major sports cities, if you go inside the stadiums, there's lounges specifically made for betting. Unfortunately, you are going to have this murky waters here where you have provisions where certain athletes in certain sports can still bet outside of their sports and others can't. There's going to be a slippery slope here. And as long as you allow and advertise gambling with professional sports and link this association, this unfortunately will not be the first and will not be the last we hear of it. This is just a high profile player in this scenario.
Well, Dave, I don't know if you saw this very short clip of Pete Rose kind of surfacing all over X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it. But you bring up Pete Rose, and I guess he said it in a bit like of a sarcastic manner. But he said, quote, well, back in the 70s and 80s, I wish I'd had an interpreter. I'd be scot-free. But then again, people are questioning, okay, this video, when was it taken? You know what I'm saying? But it was just surfacing kind of around.
Yeah, yesterday. And then with AI, things can pop up. I'll admit, yeah. I haven't seen
you
the
video.
You
don't know what to trust. So.
But look, in the day and age of social media, like I said, if there is a chink in the armor in the story anywhere, it will be found. And he will be prosecuted in the public court of appeal and with Major League Baseball. And we will find that out shortly. But they went out in front of it, and here we are.
Yeah, well, they are playing. I mean, they play in L.A. They're the L.A. Dodgers. But speaking of L.A., you're actually going to be in L.A. You mentioned earlier, glued to your TV, March Madness. It's been crazy. I know you're excited.
It's been absolutely crazy. And why not be involved with the fun? Sweet 16, Crypto.com Arena. Yes, I'm a University of Arizona alum. I don't like talking about the Arizona Wildcats in the tournament because they always seem to collapse. But they're going to be facing the number six Clemson Tigers. And then also you're going to have UNC North Carolina facing Alabama, the one in the four seed versus the four seed. That's going to be in the West region. I'll be covering those games on Thursday. I absolutely cannot wait. The Sweet 16 is here. Pretty chalky. I mean, all four number one seeds are still there. But what I saw, DJ Burns Jr., the big man, North Carolina State, the 11th seed, they are the highest seed still remaining. That was fantastic. Houston's overtime win over Texas A&M. Emmanuel Sharpe leading the way with 30 points. That's been excellent. If you look at Marquette, guard play. I talked about last week guard play, Helen.
Yes.
Tyler Colic, 11 assists in back-to-back games, back-to-back double-doubles, Western Kentucky and Colorado. I mean, he led the nation's in assist average all season long, playing well in the tournament. Purdue's Braden Smith, UConn's Tristan Love, and my Arizona Wildcats' Caleb Love. Can you imagine if Caleb Love, who is a transfer from UNC, if the Wildcats end up facing UNC North Carolina Tar Heels in the Elite Eight? That'd be a great story.
Oh, definitely. And I appreciate your takeaways from watching these games. But you will be, like courtside, you'll be front row covering the games. Do you have a particular favorite to win this week?
Well, Arizona's been playing great because of Caleb Love. If you get great guard play, you're going to have great results. And Caleb Love will take the Wildcats as far as he can take them. I would love to see that rematch with UNC. Illinois and Iowa State's going to be a great game. I like Illinois in that game as well. UConn Huskies. I mean, yes, they won it last year. But I just think that they are the most complete team, and they're playing a good, hungry San Diego State team. But I think UConn will be too much for them. Marquette against my North Carolina State that I just brought up with my big man DJ Burns Jr. Love to see him compete. I think that's going to be great. But I think Purdue will kind of be too much with their big men and their guard play against Gonzaga. But Gonzaga, what they did has been very impressive. Them beating Kansas. I mean, there's a lot of great games left, and that's what I just love about this time of year.
I know. I'm excited to see how these games unfold, but like we mentioned, there's so many crazy things going on in the world of sports. Today, it was announced and confirmed that the NFL, they approve a new kickoff rule, where under the new rule, 10 players on the kicking team and at least 9 players on the receiving team will line up just 5 yards apart and won't begin running until the ball gets back to the returner. And that means that players won't be going full speed when they kind of, you know, crash into each other, which has in the past caused so many injuries. So this is something that I believe the XFL has experimented with in the past, and what do you make of this?
Well, it's all about player safety, too. And the hip drop tackle, that was also eliminated as well. I think that was the injury that that led to towards Mark Andrews, the tight end for the Baltimore Ravens, missing out in all those chunks of games in the season last year. It's all about player safety. When I think about the kickoff, because it's one of the most dangerous plays, special teams in football, I think back to 2010. I remember Rutgers was playing Army. Eric LeGrand, that spinal injury, one of the scariest things I saw on field. In terms of just like he was paralyzed right then and there. I mean, all this comes with special teams in that kickoff, and it's towards player safety. I know it's not the sexy or popular thing right now in a lot of people's eyes and a lot of the purists when it comes to NFL fans. But look, if you're trying to keep the game safer and keep it exciting as possible, these are the things that are going to happen over the years. And this is just one step towards player safety, Helen. So I know it's not a sexy thing, but I'm okay with it. Every year there seems to be a new rule change to enhance safety, or at least an attempt to do so. And if it's successful, we will find out a year from now, right?
Definitely. And I'm pro safety and pro health.
Certainly. We're going to go on a quick break, but don't go anywhere, because when we come back, we're going to hear from Malachi Corley, who is a high prospect out of Western Kentucky, who will be drafted, likely, here next month. Stay tuned. The Schmo Zone, ESPN Radio, Las Vegas.
Welcome back. We're your hosts, Dave Schmullinson and Helen Yee. Peel back the curtain in the Vegas sports world and beyond.
Welcome back to the Schmo Zone, party people. I'm Dave Schmullinson.
And I'm Helen Yee.
We're getting geared up for the NFL draft next month. I want to bring in our next guest, Malachi Corley. Let's bring him in right now. Western Kentucky Hilltoppers wide receiver. What's up, Malachi?
Hey, what's going on? How y'all doing today?
We're doing well. We're doing well.
How are you?
How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank y'all for asking. God woke me up today. I'm feeling blessed.
Excellent, man. You just had your pro day, didn't you?
Yes, sir. Yesterday.
How did that go for you?
I think it was a great turnout. I had 31 of the NFL teams there, double-digit receiver coaches there to see me, some OCs, some assistant GMs. It was a really good turnout there in Bowling Green, you know, bringing all those scouts and all those important people to Bowling Green, Kentucky, of all places, and being able to put my entire ability and all my talents on display.
A couple weeks ago, we had Lance Moore, 11-year NFL wide receiver, on this show, and we asked him, because he was undrafted, he ended up winning a Super Bowl, played a long, long time in the NFL, who's a guy to look out for that not many people are talking about in the NFL, and he brought up your name. And that's why I knew it'd be great to have you on. I've been reading up on you. There's been some comparisons to Deebo Samuel. What do you make of those comparisons?
Say that again.
You've been compared to Deebo Samuel. What do you think of those NFL comparisons?
I think it's an accurate comparison in the way that we play the game and our style of play, being extremely physical guys after the catch and being able to take short passes and take them a long distance, you know, and at the end of those runs, always imposing our will and trying to run guys over, really using our speed and agility and our quickness and our strength and our size to be able to make plays, not only down the field, but catch them in short ranges and take them down the field.
You're back-to-back first team Conference USA. You just had your pro day. So what is the big takeaway that you had meeting with all the scouts and the 31 teams that were in attendance for you yesterday during your pro day?
My biggest takeaway really is that I think that everyone there knows that I'm a talented player, but they didn't know how good of a route runner I was or how fast I was or how quick and agile I was. So leaving there, I think I left a really good taste in a lot of those people's mouths, and I think I really showed that I'm not only a person that can catch bubble screens and jet tosses and all those short plays, but I can really, you know, run the deep curl, run the dig, run deep post, and really take the top off the defense while also being able to win underneath with option routes and pivot routes and things like that, and really showed off my versatility as far as my catch radius, being able to jump up and make some leaping grabs, and really showing off my athletic ability. So I really think that it was a good overall impression for everyone.
Has anything stuck out to you during this draft process? Because this is probably the most exciting time of your life. We're about a month out from the NFL draft. What has this process been like for you?
It's been extremely, it's been a really tedious process, you know, going step to step, you know, really just grinding and trying to refine my ability. Starting off early, working with the 40 and working with the shuttle, trying to get better in that way while also prepping for the Senior Bowl. Being able to go down to Mobile and play against some of the best competition in college football was an unbelievable experience. And being able to leave there with the Player of the Week award voted on by the defensive backs there, that was an unbelievable accomplishment. And then, you know, as soon as that was over, I had to turn it right back on to the 40 and running the shuttle again and refining my route. So, you know, I was really looking forward to going to the NFL Combine, but because of COVID, I was forced to sit out of that. So I know that Pro Day was a very important day, and like I said, being able to have all those scouts down there, I knew it was going to be something special. So I really just had all my intention and focus on running that 40 in that shuttle and being able to really show off my route running ability for those guys.
Yeah, it's really unique because of COVID and being sick. You weren't able to go to Indy for the combine, but it was you had your pro day. We know how important that is. You're able to do all the things that the team's asked of you to do, and there was so much pressure put on you for yesterday. How did you deal with that, knowing that it all comes down to how you perform yesterday because you weren't there in Indy?
Yeah. Ultimately, I just looked at it as another day, just doing what I was already prepared to do. I've been working it for up to 3 months at this point. So really just got to a point where I was extremely confident and comfortable in how I felt going into it. So I really try to make it feel as, you know, as normal a day as possible. But obviously there's a lot of pressure having all these scouts there and, you know, all these unfamiliar faces getting there to see me, to have one big moment where they all have to make a you know, a formulated opinion about me. So the way I really dealt with the pressure was just working on my mental health, you know, really staying off of social media, reading a lot of books, getting into my faith. You know, every day I wake up and write my five-minute journal. I read my daily devotion. I read my Bible every single day. So just staying grounded in that way. Even getting outside, anytime it's a sunny day, I'm outside barefooted, really soaking up the vibes of, you know, being appreciative of the life that I'm living and how grateful I am to just be able to play a game for a living. So once you realize that you're doing things that other people can't do and that you're just having to play a game, you know, in order to be set for the rest of your life, it takes a lot of the pressure off of you.
We're speaking with Malachi Corley, Western Kentucky Hilltoppers wide receiver. Malachi, outside of the X's and O's, what are some of the things that NFL personnel are asking you about yourself throughout this draft process outside of the game itself?
Really, they just inquire about who I am as a person, you know. And like I just told you, really, I tell them about how transparent and how open I am. how introspective I am. Like I said, staying off social media as much as possible, getting in touch with the earth, being in tune with the people around me, being really appreciative and thankful for the things that go on in my life, you know. I think really that's been a lot of it. You know, they just want to see who this person is, you know, behind the football player, behind the mask. They're really more interested in the human being of Malachi Corley more than the athlete. And honestly, being in conversation with them, having Zoom interviews, being interviewed by people, it's not really hard for me because, you know, naturally I communicate well with people. I'm extremely transparent and open. And anytime that someone gets to have a conversation with me, they can feel my energy and feel how genuine I am.
That's perfect. You're very well spoken, and we appreciate that as well. Outside of your quarterback, does anyone, when you were there playing at the Senior Bowl, any quarterbacks jump out to you having a great ball, something, someone that impressed you from the quarterback position throughout this draft process outside of your quarterback at Western Kentucky?
Of course, Michael Penix, you know, he's a gunslinger, you know, big left-handed quarterback who has an extremely nice deep ball, very precise with the way he throws. Always on time and on target. So Michael Penix was he popped out on me immediately. You know, it's hard to overlook how the success that he had over the last 2 years at Washington University and with those great receivers that they had as well. So Michael Penix for sure.
What are goals that you're setting for yourself as a rookie in the NFL next season?
I think immediately I can make an impact in the NFL on any team that I can put on, any organization that I can put on, because I have the ability to not only play out wide at receiver and win on the island, but I have the ability to catch bubble screens and tunnel screens and jet toss passes and be able to line up in the backfield and be extremely versatile in that way. But not only that, you know, I'm a willing blocker, extremely physical player who's not afraid to do the dirty work for the team, and being an offensive weapon. And outside of that, being a locker room president, you know, being extremely, like I said, being extremely transparent and open and genuine. I think that I'm a great leader, and I have the ability to pull people along with me, because I can learn from anyone just as well as they can learn from me, you know, and try to soak up as much knowledge and information as I can, while also being, you know, playing that janitor role where there's no job too low for me and there's no job too high for me, and doing anything to help my team. Go ahead.
Oh, no, you cut off for a second. Just a Swiss Army knife with a great mindset and willing to play any role for a winning organization. I really like to hear that. Malachi, we appreciate you coming on the Schmo Zone. We wish you the best of luck through the remainder of the draft process, and we look forward to hearing your name called in April, and you get in the best position possible, and we'll stay in touch with you. Thank you so much for coming on the Schmo Zone.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys having me. It was a great experience.
Excellent. Have a blessed day. Take care.
That was Malachi Corley. We are in the fight capital of the world. So coming up right after the break, we have UFC Hall of Famer and former UFC welterweight champion Matt Serra, along with Aaron Blanchfield, who's headlining UFC Atlantic City this weekend. So stay tuned. You're listening to The Schmo Zone.
Now you're back into The Schmo Zone on ESPN Las Vegas.
Welcome back to The Schmo Zone. I'm Helen Yee.
And I'm Dave Schmolensen. Absolute honor to have the next guest today. He's a UFC Hall of Famer, the Ultimate Fighter Season 4 welterweight tournament champion, former welterweight champion, host of UFC Unfiltered, and a star on Dana White's Looking for a Fight, the one and only Matt Serra.
Hey, what's up? Okay. How are you?
We're doing good, Matt. How are you been?
I don't know why it's not going through my car. It's annoying me. I hope you can hear me okay.
You sound great.
All right, good, good. So when you do this show you guys are doing, I guess it would be pretty hard if you were totally in schmo role. Like if you were in the are you being a straight man now? What's going on?
Yeah, I'm in the schmo zone right now, Matt. There's no camera on us. It's just audio, and it would be pretty annoying if I was in character the whole time. So this is the way of taking off the glasses or breaking the glasses and just talking like a normal sports fan, like I truly am at heart.
Well, that's actually refreshing. Not only I love
love the honesty.
I do. And nice to talk to you. It's going through the car now, so now I can put down my phone and relax. What's new, gang? Exciting stuff coming up.
Yeah, there's so much to talk about. Did you catch Roadhouse with star Conor McGregor and Jake Gyllenhaal? Did you catch that yet?
I have 15 minutes left of it.
Okay.
I'm almost there. I watched most of it, yeah.
Most of it. What's your takeaway of Conor McGregor, the heel?
I'm enjoying it. I think he's great. I mean, let's be honest, it's not Hamlet for him. I mean, he's playing himself. Like, you know what I mean? He's basically just kind of being a little, he's kind of just being himself. Like, I love in the movie, like, the part when he's in the boat going crazy. And I love in the movie when he takes the trolley and he throws it into the bus. No, wait, I'm sorry. That's great, though. But I think he does a great job in it. I mean, it's fun. And I like Jake. I'm going to destroy his last name. How do you pronounce his last name?
Gyllenhaal.
Jake. Yeah, of course. I think he's good. I think he's good in it. Did you guys watch it or no?
Yeah, of course. I thought he was great. I can't wait for his next role. But it takes us back to UFC 285 because we were there when they filmed the scenes. I remember when they did the weigh-ins. I remember when they did the simulation fight. I just remember how quiet it was during that time.
And, yeah, but it was then, weird.
But then we heard Conor McGregor just so rowdy cage side. And then I heard more fans getting involved with it. But I just remember that flying knee through at the beginning of it. Of that scene.
Yeah, it was cool, man. I think, I think the movie itself was fun. It was like almost like a throwback to those 80s, almost like tongue-in-cheek type violence. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's violent, but it's still a little funny, and I don't know. It was so far, the movie is better than I thought it would be. It's pretty good.
Yeah, well, let's move on because there'll probably be more movies to talk about. And remember, this is a family-friendly program, so no F-bombs if you can because we're on radio here in Vegas. But we appreciate you.
I've been good so far. Did you I don't know if you're into science fiction. Did you watch Dune and Dune Part 2 or you're not into that?
I haven't had a chance. I haven't had a chance yet. I've seen Dune, not Part 2 yet, though. Not Part 2.
Well, you know, listen. You have to devote some time. They're long movies. But if you're into that, it's super cool. But if you're not into it, I'm not going to waste your time talking about it. I love it. I thought it was fantastic.
Well, we will catch it. It's on our to-do list. But yeah. There's so much great stuff coming up here. I know we have UFC in Atlantic City, but a couple of weeks from now, here in Las Vegas, we have UFC 300, where every single fight is absolutely loaded. So many former champions, so many great storylines. Is there a particular matchup that you're looking forward to the most on the 300 card, Matt?
I don't got all the fights right in front of me, but I like the main event. I don't know why people are chewing on it. Yeah, I clean up my language here. I feel that I like Jamal Hill. I don't know why he's not getting, I'm not saying more of a push, but I think he's funny, he's talented, and, you know, his fights are exciting. And, you know, Pereira, you can't say enough about. So, I mean, I don't know, man. I'm excited. I'm excited about that fight. And name some other ones, and I'll give you my thoughts on it.
Well,
if you want.
Well, no problem. Yeah, Jamal Hill, the first ever champion coming out of Dana White's Contender Series. He's always exciting. I mean, he's coming off the Achilles tear, and he's fighting a killer in Alex Pereira. I like Aljamain Sterling going up for his featherweight debut against Calvin Kattar. You know Aljo pretty well. That's a great fight. You got Yan Xiao Nan.
I should have started with that one. I'm looking for. But go ahead.
Yeah, Yan Xiao Nan versus Zhang Weili, China versus China in the co-main, and you have the BMF title on the line, Justin Gaethje against Max Holloway going up to 155.
There's no shortage of great fights, Matt.
It's amazing. I'm really excited. Aljo, you know, his style, I think he's gonna fit in very well in that weight division. I think he's gonna shine. His strongest, listen, he's good everywhere. He really is. I remember asking Longo sometimes, you know, about a certain kick, and Longo goes, he'll put his foot wherever he wants. Like, you know what I mean? He's that gifted, you know? But let's be honest. His strongest weapon in his arsenal is his grappling, wrestling to jiu-jitsu, and I think, you know, he's going to be even more powerful here. He strangles guys twice his size, so I think I think he's going to – I think I'm excited to see him at this weight class. And I really respect Cater a lot. He's a stud, so – it's gonna be fun, and I feel good about it, you know, for Aljo.
And Aljo is good friends with Merab and trains with him, and it looks like hopefully Merab will be getting that next title shot against Sean O'Malley.
Oh, I believe that. I mean, isn't that all but done? Isn't that all but said and done? Now, I mean, it's pretty much.
Yeah, I mean everything except I guess a signed contract.
More than you guys.
No, I think
yeah,
that's
I believe-
next.
After his last performance for Cejudo, you gotta, you know, how could you deny that? I think people would be excited about it. And I like lately that Merab, even his personality has been shown more. Like, you start to see this guy's, you know, he's a character in a good way. And he's entertaining as hell. So, am I in a drop zone? Do you guys hear me okay?
You sound great. No, he's certainly becoming one of the most entertaining guys in the sport. I love his skits. I love when he jumps into the frozen lake. I love that he involves the ladies.
I swam with him like a week and a half ago. He's a great swimmer.
Oh, he's a beast. I don't know if you've seen the clips of him back home in his home from Georgia when he's in a stream. He's something special when it comes to conditioning and stuff. It's really, it's like nothing I've ever seen before, to be honest. But,
yeah,
you know, I think a lot of people might say that by just watching him fight. And it is funny with Merab. Like, if you look at his record, he very well could be undefeated, I mean, in the UFC. I mean, his fight versus Frankie Saez was, I mean, he fought him when he just got over the flu, and I swear, that's a fight I couldn't believe he lost. I thought he won, for sure. I mean, and I don't usually say that if it's close. It wasn't close. And the other fight was a little controversial with the choke at the end of the bell with Simone. So he could be, he very well could be an undefeated UFC soon to be champion.
Yeah. Well, you obviously know what that takes. I was watching a podcast recently with your good friend Dana, and I just love the praise. I think it was Usman's new podcast, Kamaru Usman, just praising Usman and everything of his accomplishments. I just want to ask you a fun question. In the GOAT conversation of welterweight, who would you favor? Would you favor GSP or Kamaru Usman is the welterweight GOAT in that conversation, Matt?
Well, you know, I don't got all the stats in front of me. But, I mean, it's going to sound weird when I say GSP because they'll be like, oh, yeah, you're saying that because you're the only one or two guys to have a good night with him. You know what I mean? So, but I mean, I feel it would be George for sure. I don't know how you can make the case that, I mean, I didn't see the podcast with Dana saying that, but I would love to hear the argument of how he's better than George in as far as a better legacy, because not only did George do what he did, he came back and he beat Michael Bisping at welterweight. I mean, he's fucking great. You know, I mean, I don't know, dude. I mean, George, I would say George St. Pierre would be the best welterweight of all time, but that's just, you know, you could say I'm biased. Who knows? But
that's
how I feel.
No, I'm not saying that Dana said that Usman is the greatest welterweight of all time. He was praising Usman never turning down fights and just all the things he accomplished in his career in the welterweight division.
Oh.
And I think from my perspective, you can certainly make a case for both. And I certainly love the case for Usman, but I think for anyone who argues GSP, they'd say, you know, those two last performances against Leon Edwards maybe might hurt Usman in that perspective, but I think it's always a great fun debate, but that's always fun to do. I'm really excited for Atlantic City because, Matt, right after you, we have Aaron Blanchfield, cold-blooded, who's headlining that home city. You know all about the Northeast. She's headlining in that fight card, and I think it's a great opportunity for her.
I think she's one of my favorites to watch because she's all business, and she's comfortable on her feet and dangerous on her feet. She doesn't get rattled. She has good distance management. Her shots are well placed, but she's also her timing on her shots. She's very persistent. Her jiu-jitsu is phenomenal. It's bone breaking. It's both beautiful and brutal. She's so much fun to watch. You know, when she fights, I definitely point her out to my daughters, and you know, I'm like, look how she does this, look at that Kimura, look at the placement, look at the way she's distributing her weight. You know what I mean? So I'm a huge, huge fan. I believe, you know, of Erin Blanchfield. I believe she will be the next champion. I do.
Well, excellent. I think she may have heard that too. We have her right up next. Matt, we appreciate you coming on the Schmo Zone. We're going to have to do this again. It's quick when it's live, but we're going to do this again. We appreciate you coming on. We're going to talk to Cold Blooded right now. Thank you, Matt Sarah, UFC Hall of Famer.
Thanks, gang.
Thank you. Cold Blooded, Erin Blanchfield, thank you for joining us today on the Schmo Zone. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We're great. I'm not sure if you heard that, but we were just talking to Matt Sarah, the Hall of Famer, and he was just praising you and your jiu-jitsu and saying he points this out, what you do to his daughters as he's teaching them.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I have talked to him a little bit. Yeah, it's awesome that he does that. He's great.
And he also said he believes that you'll be the future champion.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I believe so too.
Well, Erin, I mean, this is a huge opportunity. This is you returning back to Atlantic City, where you had your first MMA debut victory, your first fight here in Atlantic City. You're coming back. This is when you were with CFFC. You're here with the UFC. You're headlining. This is a huge fight. I mean, you're cold-blooded. You never show really much emotion, which is something that's really, really impressive about you. But what are your nerves like for this fight week, being so close to home, having so much family that's probably hitting you up or hitting your family up for tickets and attendance and whatnot? Like, what's your nerves like right now heading into this fight week, or right now we are in fight week?
Yeah. You know, I feel like it feels similar to every fight. You know, I feel like I try to approach it with the same mindset and to stay focused on what my job is Saturday. But it is really nice being home. I mean, I made my pro debut here, like you said, was able to win that in like one round. So that'd be amazing if I can do that again Saturday. That's like what I plan on. And, you know, I feel like I'm more, not really a nerve thing. I'm really happy. It's like super fulfilling being able to do it in front of all my family and friends. I know they're here for me and they love me and they support me. And I'm so happy I can get to perform in front of them. So it really makes me happy. I feel like it doesn't add any like nerves or pressure. It's really just like, it's fulfilling. It's nice.
12-1, 9-fight win streak, undefeated in the UFC. Do you pretty much have the assurance from the UFC that if you take care of business against Manny and Ferro this weekend, that you are up next for the title shot?
Yeah, I feel like with a dominant win, a finish, like it's pretty much, I mean, who else is going to fight for a title? You know what I mean? I've really proven myself, I feel like, in this division, especially with another dominant win Saturday. It'll make, like, no questions. I know Manon's literally the only other girl that people were like, oh, she should get a title shot, like, even questioning about it. So I'm really happy I get the opportunity Saturday to really prove that I'm the next title contender and that nobody deserves it more than me.
And they are filming a new season of The Ultimate Fighter, so it looks like it'll be Alexa Grasso versus Valentina Shevchenko again. So when you do get your title shot after a victory this weekend, do you think that you'll be fighting Alexa or Valentina?
Ooh, I don't know. I feel like they're so closely matched. I'm not really sure who's going to win that trilogy. You know, I'd love to fight either girl, both girls. I've been watching both of them forever since I was like in high school. So I don't know. I feel like no matter who wins that trilogy, I feel like I'm going to end up fighting both girls at some point.
And I know, Erin, I talked to you after your victory against Talia Santos. Were you surprised that they went with that trilogy? I mean, for The Ultimate Fighter, when they were making a decision who would be next for The Ultimate Fighter, like, what was your reaction when you found out that, hey, they're going to be doing The Ultimate Fighter and these two are going to actually have a trilogy fight?
Yeah, I figured after how their fight went the second time they went to a draw, I figured there would be a trilogy. The Ultimate Fighter thing definitely was a surprise. I didn't expect that, but I guess like in MMA, you never know what's going to happen, so I guess I'm not too shocked. But yeah, I just hope that nobody gets hurt in this trilogy and that they'll be ready to fight again soon.
Kayla Harrison, she's someone who had a big reputation coming into the UFC. I mean, obviously she won the $1 million tournament twice in the PFL. She's making her debut, but at 135 pounds in the bantamweight division, a weight that she hasn't fought at. What are your expectations from Kayla Harrison fighting Holly Holm at UFC 300 as her debut fight in the UFC? What do you think of that matchup?
I think that's pretty crazy. When I first saw that, I think I was just like on Instagram on my phone and saw that matchup, and I did think that was wild. I know Kayla Harrison's kind of someone who was like anti-weight cutting and was kind of against like cutting weight like that, so I was pretty surprised to see her going down to 35. I mean, she seems like a disciplined person. I know she was an Olympian and she's a professional MMA fighter now, so I'm sure she's trying to do it the right way, but even the right way, I'm sure that's going to be a rough cut, so I'm definitely surprised.
I know you're focused on your division, on the flyweight division, but we just saw Rose Namajunas just compete this weekend. She obviously is a strawweight, longtime champion that gone up the flyweight. I bring this up because I ask you, do you see a scenario, if you take care of business and do the things you want in the flyweight division, do you see yourself going up to the bantamweight division in the future and contesting for the title?
Yeah, you never know. I feel like I'm super focused, like I said, on flyweight right now. Super focused on Saturday, getting that win and seeing what comes after that. But I definitely wouldn't write it off. If I was going to move, change a weight class, it definitely would be up. So, yeah, maybe I'll come for that one too.
And you're only 24 years old, so you have plenty of time ahead of you for all that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I plan on fighting for quite a while. That's why I feel like anyone in the division right now, I feel like I'm definitely going to be fighting because I'm going to be around.
So you're an up-and-coming star. You're dominant so far. Like, what would be your perfect scenario for Saturday evening and how the fight plays out? Like, what is a dominant victory in your eyes? Because you do set high standards for yourself.
Yeah, of course, I feel like a finish in, like, the first or second round would obviously be ideal. Not getting hurt, coming out unscathed. Yeah, just being able to execute, like, my game plan perfectly and finding those openings. Without, you know, getting hurt in any way, that'd be perfect. That's what I plan on. I mean, I'm ready for 5 rounds. I feel like I have great cardio for that. So if it did get pushed to that, I know I'd be ready for that and able to win that too. But obviously, a finish is always nice.
We're speaking with Erin Blanchfield. She's headlining UFC Atlantic City. Erin, we really appreciate you joining us on the Schmo Zone. We know we have a busy week ahead. We wish you the best of luck on Saturday evening. And thanks for coming on today and spending some time with us.
Yeah, of course. Thank you, guys.
Take care. That's cold-blooded Erin Blanchfield. Check her out. She's going to be headlining UFC Atlantic City Saturday evening on ESPN+.
I'm so excited to watch her fight. I actually, like, really, really love watching her fight. She's really fun to watch.
She's great, and you brought it up, too. She's only 24 years young. I've been interviewing her now for the past couple of years.
You have?
And it's just... what I like about her is she's always hunting for a finish. And I know that's something, yes, Dana White looks to see out of his fighters. And she's well-spoken, as we can hear. And yeah, she understands the task ahead. I mean, Manon Farreau, she is vicious on the feet. So we all know it's going to be a clash of styles. It's going to be someone in Erin Blanchfield who's notorious for her grappling capabilities up against a striker, a decorated Muay Thai fighter, Manon Farreau. So styles make fights. We'll see whose style runs victorious Saturday evening in Atlantic City.
Yes. I'm so excited. And hey, you leave for LA tomorrow?
I'm going to leave for LA tomorrow. No, I believe I'm going to leave Thursday morning, catch the Sweet 16 games, and then I am part of the broadcast for Up Next Fighting in Los Angeles. I cannot wait for that. So I'm going to be balancing some MMA and some college basketball. Two things I love to do.
Yeah, and you're great at what you do as well, but when you do the broadcast, so you're not Dave, you're actually the Schmo.
I'm the Schmo, so I do the Schmo post-fight in-cage interviews, and I join the team. Todd and John are play-by-play and color commentator as the third man in the booth to call some of the fights. It's a mix between some amateurs and pros. Absolutely great card in Glendale, California, or Burbank, California, rather. I'm very excited for Up Next Fighting 17.
Yeah, and they have a lot of big up-and-coming stars in the MMA world, which I have seen, like, even Nate Diaz to Tony Ferguson be there to corner some of the guys.
Yeah, so a lot of the top teams in the California region, they send guys from their gym there. So Nate Diaz has been there to corner. Tony Ferguson's been there to support his guys out there as well. Beneil Dariush. So it's a lot of fun names as well. Also want to point out that on April 15th, Dave, not the Schmo, but me, I'm going to be at Flanker for a night with Cocktails with the Coach. We're going to have Las Vegas Golden Knights our defending Stanley Cup winners, Coach Cassidy Murray. We're going to do a sit down, a meet and greet. We're going to ask questions. So if you guys have any questions, I'll remind you as the date gets closer, it's going to be at Flanker. It's going to be Monday evening, April 15th, a night with the coach, night of nights. If you have any questions, tweet us at the Schmozone, and I'll make sure that I get them in there with the coach. And we'll have a link for where you can purchase tickets if you want as well. But it'll be a real fun evening, night of nights, cocktails with the coach.
I like that. Night of nights. And yesterday, they just beat the St. Louis Blues in overtime.
Those nights, I mean, look, they just shattered everybody's expectations a few years ago for an expansion team.
I know. It was incredible.
I thought we were going to be spoiled as a city, but then we win the Stanley Cup, and now the expectations, rightfully so, are higher than high. So that's the good thing about being in Vegas right now. We got so much going on. A couple weeks from now, UFC 300. Absolutely cannot wait for that. Just so much good stuff, Ellen.
And the weather's finally getting nicer.
Cool party season, full effect.
But you do the cold plunge, so you prefer the cold.
Prefer the cold when it's 110 degrees outside during the summer, too. I mean, you get the best of both worlds.
That's true. Well, you can always follow us at the Schmozone. We appreciate you listening. You can follow me at Helen E. Sports.
And you can follow me at the Schmo312. We appreciate you listening. We'll get around to taking callers as we progress. Thank you for tuning in to the Schmo Zone here on ESPN Radio Las Vegas. We are out.
Hopefully this is the last time you hear this ad, because with Chime Checking Account, features like fee-free overdraft up to $200 with SpotMe and getting paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit, you can probably treat yourself to an ad-free upgrade to spend more time listening to your favorite podcasts. Or at least grab yourself an extra morning latte this month. Join millions of Chime members who work on their financial progress with fee-free overdraft and no monthly fees. When you find new ways to save, you can reach your financial goals easier and still have the occasional treat. Take more control of your finances and say goodbye to monthly fees. Open your account in minutes at chime.com/goals24. That's chime.com/goals24. Chime feels like progress. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. members FDIC. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.